Good morning, everyone. Hebrews 11, please, and a new verse this morning. It's the verse numbered 30. The verse numbered 30. By faith. That's always the introduction to the verse this last little while as we've been reading Hebrews 11. By faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they were compassed or surrounded about 7 days. Now, we come to yet another of the incidents encountered by Israel and recorded here in Hebrews 11, which, as I said, are very illustrative of the experiences of the Christian on the pilgrimage to heaven. I pointed out how this series began in verse 28. We have the Passover, the blood applied, then the passage through the Red Sea, great victory given to Israel in the first difficulty they encountered as they began their journey to the Promised Land. And we noted how that you begin the pilgrimage to heaven through the cleansing of the precious blood. If you're not washed in the precious blood, you're not for heaven. We like to sing that hymn, don't we, that has the chorus, "Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?" You can't go to heaven unless you're washed in the blood of the Lamb. And the only ones to escape the judgment that fell on Egypt that night of the Passover were those who were under the blood. And so they started, and then they encountered this great difficulty of the Red Sea in front of them and Pharaoh behind them. But the Lord intervened, and they were delivered. And we learned something, I hope, of how the Lord will always preserve us, deliver us from the difficulties that we face as Christians on the way to heaven. Because there are difficulties. Don't you think that if you get saved, well, that's the end of it? No. You've joined the Lord's army when you got saved. And when you join the army, you'll soon be in the battle. And as a Christian, you'll soon be in the battle. Well, now we come to the verse 30. And time-wise, 40 years of traveling through the wilderness are behind them. They have come to the borders of the Promised Land. And they've crossed over the Jordan. And crossing over the Jordan, they're confronted by a great city, the city of Jericho. It's a walled city, very high, strong walls all around it. There's a lesson here for us. The trials and the difficulties of the wilderness are over, but there's still battles to be fought, still battles to be fought. I might say that that's a special lesson for me, because I have been over 40 years progressing through the wilderness. That's how long I have been a Christian, over 50 years, but there's still battles. I might say to myself, well, after all the years of preaching and doing what I could as a minister, I'm sure now I'm in for an easy time. When you retire, well, you take things easy. But boys and girls, there are still battles to be fought. No matter how long you've been a Christian, there are still battles to be fought. The devil doesn't recognize a Christian's retirement. A devil doesn't say, oh, he's no longer a pastor, he has no longer a church to look after, therefore I'll not bother him anymore. No, the devil doesn't think that way at all. He is an unrelenting foe. And to the very end of our pilgrimage here on this earth, he'll be doing his best to oppose us and hinder us. So they've crossed into the Promised Land, and what is it they find? An enemy. An enemy behind the high walls of Jericho resisting. Now Jericho was a most formidable city, that is a powerful city, strongly built. We read in Joshua, you older ones who want to turn it up, please do, Joshua chapter 6, in the verse 1, it says, "Now Jericho was straitly shut up." Now that's a word you will come across many times in the Bible, straitly, but the spelling is special, and although we pronounce it the same as that which means a straight line, this is spelt differently from the word that refers to a straight line, and the spelling here tells us that the word doesn't mean a straight line, but it means tight. It means very carefully put together, as it were. Sometimes we read the word employed by the Lord when he says, I have straitly commanded you. I've commanded you with an emphasis. I didn't word my commandments in a casual fashion, but I was very careful in how I spoke to you and gave you the commandment so that you wouldn't make any mistake. And when we read here that Jericho was shut up straitly, it means every gate was shut. Wasn't a matter of, close a few gates. No, close every gate. Make entrance into the city impossible, as far as you can. That's what the command was from the leadership of the city to those who were defending it. Shut it up straightly, tight. Because of the children of Israel, none went out and none came in. You've heard the term lockdown used here at this time of the COVID-19 virus problem. And there were certain members of the community who were told, you stay in your home and don't come out, don't mix. Well, here's a lockdown. Jericho is in lockdown. Nobody was allowed in and nobody was allowed out because they were now determined not to let Israel get into the city and conquer it. It was defiant in its resistance to Israel. Now, it's interesting that though it was defiant and showing a determination not to allow Israel to conquer it, there was another side to their thinking. And if you have turned up Joshua chapter 6, well, just turn back to chapter 2. And in chapter 2 of Joshua, we read the words of one of the citizens of Jericho, and this lady is called Rahab. We'll be thinking about her next week, for she's mentioned in the next verse in Hebrews chapter 11. But Rahab is speaking to spies that Joshua has sent out to see how things are. And in verse 9 of Joshua chapter 2, she said unto the men, I know. Always notice the use of the word know in the Bible. I know, she says, that the Lord hath given you the land. See that? Here's a woman who has come to understand what the will of God is for Israel and what it is he's going to do for Israel. I know that the Lord hath given you the land and that your terror is fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. That was 40 years before, but the memory of it still lives among the Canaanites, among those who are enemies of God. They haven't forgotten what God did at the Red Sea. You know, sometimes God's people forget it. Israel forgot it many times during the pilgrimage through the wilderness. What God had done at the Red Sea, they forgot. And when they encountered some new difficulty, because they had forgotten what God did for them at the Red Sea, they complained and they moaned and they said, what are we going to do now? God's people are inclined to do that, boys and girls. I want to emphasize that. We forget the mercies that God has shown toward us. And because we forget, when we run into difficulties, we begin to act and talk as if God had never done anything for us. Which is shameful. It's shameful that we should think that way. But the enemy hasn't forgotten. Do you know something today? The devil has never forgotten one of the victories God has had over him. And mind you, I would say they're innumerable. The number of times God defeated the devil, you couldn't number them, but the devil hasn't forgotten one of them. He, I would say, remembers with resentment and anger that God gained the victory over him, but he hasn't forgotten. And here are these people in Jericho, and they are living in fear of God because of what he had done 40 years ago, far away, but which the reports of it had come to them. Oh, that the world might talk about what God has done for us. So, Rahab gives us a picture here of what it was like inside Jericho. Oh, they'd shut all the gates, and the men were standing on the walls with their swords and shields and spears and bows and arrows, and they were looking out defiantly, showing every determination that they would resist Israel. But in their hearts, they knew what God had planned to do for Israel. They knew the terror of God. And you know, boys and girls, it hasn't changed. It hasn't changed. If you and I were to go out to the road and wait for the first person to go past and stop them and say, do you know that God says that the sinner who is not saved will go to hell? They would say, yes, I know that. And even though perhaps on other occasions they might scoff and laugh at that, in their hearts they know. That's what every man does out there. They all know. Across the whole world, even those who have never seen the Bible, never heard the gospel, they know that there's judgment awaiting the sinner. They know. And here is Jericho trembling inwardly at the terror of the Lord, knowing that he is going to give their land to Israel, but they're defying. They're not submitting. They're not saying, well, Lord, if that's your will, we submit to it, and we would wish to obey your command. No! Sinful man, even though he knows deep down within that he's going to suffer for his sins, goes on sinning. Goes on sinning. Oh, boys and girls, I hope that's not how it is with you today. You're taught here the way of salvation, and you know that you need to be saved to get to heaven, but you haven't yet got saved. Your heart is like Jericho. It's shut against the gospel, against the Lord Jesus. Oh, you know what will be the result of your disobedience, but still, you remain disobedient. Give heed today. Give heed today. Then let's go a little further and notice the special instructions God gave on how to capture the city. Our text says, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down. Faith is obeying God. Faith is believing what God says and then doing what God says. And the walls of Jericho fell down because they believed God. And they did what God commanded. Now, what God commanded was most peculiar. You know what happened, don't you? Israel was told to march out and walk round the city, never saying a word. And they did that for 7 days. Now, never has an army gone out onto the battlefield and done anything remotely like that. No army has ever done that. Most battles begin with a tremendous artillery barrage. When they shoot thousands, tens of thousands of artillery shells at the enemy. And then, when that's done, out come the infantry from the trenches or the hiding places, and they march toward the enemy, many times shouting. That's how military maneuvers are conducted, and always have been. But here's God's method. Here's God's method. And it's very, very different indeed from the method that men employ. We can turn to Joshua chapter 6 and just read a few verses to remind ourselves of how it was to be done. Verse 3 of Joshua 6 says, and ye shall compass, that is, make a circuit, march round the city, all ye men of war, and go round about the city once. Thus shalt thou do 6 days. And 7 priests shall bear before the ark 7 trumpets of ram's horn. On the 7th day ye shall compass the city 7 times, and the priests shall blow with the trumpets. And it shall come to pass that when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when ye hear the sound of the trumpet, all the people shall shout with a great shout. This was how the battle, if we might call it that, was to be fought. Can you imagine what the people inside the wall thought when they saw this? They, on the first day, would see the soldiers coming and everybody rush up to the wall getting ready with the bows. But they would have walked, I'd say, outside the range of a bow, walked round the city, never said a word. What are they doing? What are they doing? And after they'd walked round it, off they went back to their camp. Oh, would say the folk in Jericho, it's all over. They must have seen that we're so reinforced and so strong that they haven't a hope, and having a look, they've gone back and it's all over. We've won. But then the next morning, the shout went up again. They're back. And they did the same. And they did that for 6 days. And then on the seventh day. I don't know if they started on the Sabbath and ended 7 days later, but it was the seventh day anyway. And there was a Sabbath involved on one of those days. It likely was the Sabbath day. And this time they went round 7 times. And then the priest blew with the trumpets. And when they heard, that is, Israel heard a long blast of the ram's horn, they gave a great shout and the walls fell down. Now there never was a battle which involved strategies, military maneuvers like that. And boys and girls, we have got to learn that the fight that we are engaging in is not to be fought the way the world fights, but we are to fight the Lord's battle according to His commandments. According to His commandments. And you older ones, you have but to read the history of the gospel to see how God gained the victory in many countries. And it was by means that would have seemed strange to the ungodly man. Think of the martyrs who died refusing to bow before the commands of man, refusing to deny the gospel, giving up their life's blood for the name of Christ. And the enemy saying, well, that's the end of them. That's them done for. But their death was God's means of advancing the gospel. We have the Bible here today. You have that Bible came to you through the death of men and women and boys and girls who would not deny the Lord Jesus. And they were put to death. And the enemy thought by putting them to death they had gained the victory. But instead, their death brought you the Bible. Just like it was with Jericho. The method employed by God was thought to be stupid and foolish by the people inside. But the walls fell down just the same. They fell down just the same. God's ways have always amazed the world. In Isaiah chapter 55, the verses 8 and 9, God says, my ways are not your ways. As the heavens are high above the earth, so my thoughts, my ways, are way above yours. In the Gospels, in Luke chapter 5, the verse 26, after one of the miracles wrought by the Lord Jesus, it says they were all amazed. And they glorified God and were filled with fear, saying, we have seen strange things today. That followed the healing of the palsied man. We have seen strange things. Things that are not what we would call normal. Ordinary. Things that we never imagined would take place. We have seen strange things. That was what men thought of what the Lord Jesus did. And oh, boys and girls, the world always has thought of God's ways, God's works, God's word, strange, different from the way they thought. One last thing. Simple faith brought them a wonderful victory that day. They did what the Lord commanded. Now, I have no doubt that when Joshua issued the command, there would have been men saying, what sort of a campaign is this going to be? What sort of measures are these? How are we ever going to defeat them walking round in silence and the priests blowing? That'll never work. I have no doubt there were plenty among the ranks of Israel that would have said that, but they put aside their doubts. They put aside their questions. And they did what the Lord commanded. And by so doing, they claimed the prize. You see, that's what God does for a believing people. When you believe God, He'll do wondrous things for you. He'll do wondrous things for you. That day, the walls fell down, the city was plundered, and utterly destroyed. Utterly destroyed. Do you know that for over 500 years, Jericho was just a heap of ruins? Burned. Ruins. Nobody lived there. 500 years. You and I are still enjoying the triumph of Christ at Calvary. The benefits of His victory will last for all eternity. Last for all eternity. And just as we close, I might just say that after 521 years, contrary to God's commandment, there was a man who set about rebuilding the city of Jericho. He set about rebuilding what God had destroyed. And that happened during the reign of one of the most wicked kings that Israel ever saw, King Ahab. You can read about it in 1 Kings chapter 16, the verses 29 to 34. And you read that he was the most wicked of kings, brought in idolatry of every form into the land. And it was during the reign of this wicked man that another man decided, I'm going to rebuild the city of Jericho. Cost him the death of sons, because God had said, the man who starts to rebuild, he'll begin the building and his one son will die, and he'll finish it and another son will die. And you know, boys and girls, that's what's happening today, if I might put it like that. They're rebuilding Jericho. Out there, they're rebuilding Jericho. That is, that which God destroyed in times past. The wicked practices of men, the ways that men lived in times past and which the gospel overthrew. There are those who are bringing back those ways, reintroducing those ways, and governments have passed laws saying it's all right to live in this wicked fashion that God has condemned and in the past God overthrew through the gospel. But men, wicked men in every sphere of our society are rebuilding Jericho, if you can understand what I mean. That which God overthrew a long time ago, men are rebuilding. And we have parades. Parades of people who are wishing to see restored the wicked ways that were abolished in times past. And it's not a coincidence that that is happening in a day when wicked men rule and reign. They rule and reign in Parliament, and they rule and they reign in the pulpits of the mainline churches. Wicked men. Ahabs. They're all around us. You can't open the newspaper, but you read something Ahab has said. The Ahab of today. They're rebuilding that which God threw down. And it's going to cost anybody who engages in it. Oh, you stick to the old paths, boys and girls. Don't you join in with those who are defying God, but you follow the old path and walk in obedience to God. Let's bow in prayer. We ask thee to bless your word today, Lord. Lord, teach the children and give them understanding of what it is that's taking place. Give them understanding that there's a rebuilding of Jericho. And may they avoid, stay away from every such activity. Bless our school. We thank thee it's here, Lord, in order to resist such trend. Bless its every activity today, the children, the teachers, and the homes from which they have come. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.